court will proceed to the fifth case, United States versus Wayne Rostro Flores. Mr. Angelini?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Donald Angelini, and I represent the defendant, Juvencio Flores. I'm a little bit nervous this morning. I've never appeared before this court, but if you could bear with me a little bit, I'd like to discuss for a few minutes what we think are the salient points in this appeal. I know the jury instructions are rules or tools of enlightenment. They enlighten juries as to what facts to apply to a set of laws to come to a just result. We also believe the jury instructions are terms of protection for both the government as litigants and the defendant as well. And we believe that one of these jury instructions actually failed our defendant, and that's the jury instruction that's referred to in our brief as the ostrich instruction or the conscious avoidance instruction. The issue, I believe, is really a single proposition that if you are to issue a ostrich or conscious avoidance instruction, do you need some evidence of conscious avoidance in order to submit that instruction properly to a jury? And I believe the answer to that question is yes. There were two defendants who, in this case, taking everything the government may say is true or everything that was borne out in the record, that were acting as lookouts in this transaction. There's a gentleman by the name of Hector Guerra. There's a gentleman by the name of Juvencio Bonestro Flores. Depending on who you believe or what was stated in this case, the main guy in this is Mr. Valdeviva, I think wanted to make this organization look a little bigger than it was. So he either enlisted these two gentlemen to appear as lookouts or to act as lookouts on behalf of this drug transaction. There was evidence presented against both of these defendants, and at the end of the case, both defendants presented motions for a directed finding, and one was granted on behalf of Mr. Guerra as a lookout, and the motion on behalf of Mr. Flores was denied. According to Judge Manning,
what did Guerra not do?
Well, I think it all comes down to one single five-minute tape that actually has been submitted by the government in a supplement to this brief. It was a five-minute period of time where there was a group of them outside a car with an undercover agent, Mr. Valdivia, and another gentleman, where my gentleman was standing right next to a flash of a kilogram of cocaine. He stood there for the flashing. He stood there for the conversations that emanated from the showing of this kilogram of cocaine. And at some period of time, he left. And if you look at all of the arguments that surrounded the motions for a directed finding, the government, and even in their closing argument, they really centered around this film. You know, here's a situation where Mr. Flores is at the scene, they're flashing the cocaine, all of the parties are there, he's there for the discussion, and that's, I think, what ultimately fells Mr. Flores. That, unfortunately for the government, is more reason why the conscious avoidance instruction should not have been given, because here's a situation where you have the cocaine, it's flashed, he's sitting there, he's a part of it, there was no conscious avoidance, he didn't get up and walk away, he didn't avoid the knowledge of a transaction. It actually goes more to why the conscious avoidance instruction should not have been given as opposed to why it should have been given.
He did testify, didn't he?
He did testify.
Now, didn't he deny knowing anything about any of
this? He did. That's really the first prong of any conscious avoidance argument, is that he denies the knowledge that he knew anything was going on with regarding to the drug transaction. The second prong, the prong that we're really contesting, is that he did something or there was some evidence that he consciously avoided the knowledge of a drug transaction. It's really a two-part analysis. First, he's got to deny that he was part of it or knew that anything was going on. Second, there has to be some evidence that he took some affirmative act to distance himself from the transaction itself.
What did he say?
He basically said, I had no idea what was going on.
Didn't see any money, didn't see any cocaine. He wasn't walking away as a lookout. He was just walking away.
Correct.
So he says all of that.
He says, I had no idea. That's the first prong. The second prong is that he actually distances himself and take some affirmative act to get away from that, to not to avoid that knowledge.
Well, isn't that really what he was saying in his testimony? The only thing that belies his testimony was your film. It shows he was right there.
Right. Well, he's saying that I had no idea what was going on. I think the Diaz case speaks to that, and there's a real specific example of what Diaz is talking about. You know, here's a guy who's always around the scene, as my guy was. But every time that the cocaine came to the scene, he took off, or he put his hood up, or he closed the door. In my situation, my guy was right in the middle of it. Now, that may have been evidence to convict him. It certainly might have been in a constructive possession theory or any type of theory that, hey, my guy was right in the middle of this drug transaction. But it certainly, and I think that actually goes to more why the officer's instruction shouldn't have been given. You know, it might have been enough to convict him, what he was doing at that scene, the fact that he stayed around when the conversation took place, the fact that he stayed around when the cocaine was flashed. But as to why the officer's instruction was given, I think that goes to more why it shouldn't have been given. Here's a guy who stayed around instead of ducking his head in the sand, which is what Ostrich is all about. He didn't duck his head in the sand.
Does that make the instruction harmless error?
I don't think so. You know, because if you look at what happened in this case and you look at Judge Manning's comments, this was a very close case. You know, she had cut out one of the lookouts to begin with. She had mentioned on two occasions, the judgment for acquittal and the judgment for a directed finding originally, that this is also a close case against Mr. Flores. So anything that had the potential of turning it or making or allowing the jury to convict on like a lesser standard as opposed to an alternative definition of knowledge, I think fell Mr. Flores in this situation, because what the jury could say is, hey, look, he might have been there. And he denies that he knew anything about it, but if you look at what it said under this definition of knowledge, him denying that he knew anything about it really doesn't matter. We can convict him on that alone. And I think with the jury, you know, the potential of this oxygen instruction on a close case, as this was, to fell this defendant, was not reversible error. And I researched every case that could found on the oxygen instruction, and to me it seems like it's submitted too often. You know, it's also almost like, hey, you got a case where the guy denies knowledge, kind of a thin case, throw in the ostrich instruction, allow the ostrich instruction. But I look at the definitions that were submitted in Diaz and Giovanetti, and it's only to be used when it applies to an issue that's presented at trial. And the issue presented at trial is, did he consciously avoid the knowledge of what was illegal going on in that transaction? You know, not only did he not know, or does he deny that he had any knowledge, but did he do something, anything affirmatively, to deny that a drug transaction or anything was going on in that situation? The only other issue I'd like to address, if I might, with the court, is the safety valve consideration. I understand it's a difficult issue, a tough issue for me, because he testified, and the government didn't believe his testimony. And there was also a written statement that was given to try to meet that fifth prong of safety valve consideration. And I believe this gentleman was the poster boy for safety valve consideration. Even after the trial was completed, the judge still felt he was a minimal participant in this transaction. He was a first-time offender. The disparity in sentences between himself and somebody who was actually a manager, drove a load car, and really involved in the transaction, with a difference between 120 months and 30 months. And I'm not saying that you have to give him safety valve consideration because he made a stupid decision in going to trial, but if you really look at the testimony and everything that was submitted, this gentleman really believed that he didn't do anything wrong. It may be unreasonable, it might not seem likely, but in his own mind, I believe that this defendant gave truthful testimony, that his standing around, kind of being around there, wasn't part of this criminal conspiracy. I note that the light's gone off.
It's not over. But okay. You're into rebuttal, but you may either use it or save it for later.
That's okay. I just wanted to make one other point. The truthfulness, I think, is not only what the government thinks was truthful, but what he believed was truthful testimony. I think the testimony as given by him of his lack of knowledge of this conspiracy, whether the government believes that it's incredibly unlikely, I think fits with the entire situation of what happened here. This was a gentleman who was made to look like he was protecting a drug transaction. It was an illusion created by Mr. Valdivia to make it look like a bigger thing than it really was. And if you take everything in a light favorable to the government, even in a light most favorable to the government, we believe that he did deserve safety valve consideration. And I thank you, Your Honor, for listening to my argument.
Thank you, Mr. Angelini. Mr. Lau.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel John Lausch on behalf of the United States. I'll address the two arguments that counsel addressed, and we'll do so briefly. First, on the Oshkosh instruction, we agree with counsel that what it comes down to is whether or not facts supported an inference of deliberate ignorance. Case law is pretty clear that you need to have both prongs. And in this case, there were facts supporting deliberate ignorance. The key fact is one of the points that counsel makes over and over again, is that 5 minutes, 5 minutes is actually probably too long, but those few moments when the defendant was there with the undercover agent who was the buyer, the person who was selling the drugs, Valdivia, and the key broker for that deal, and they sat by the side of the silver Nissan, and they talked about the drug transaction, and the sample kilo was displayed at that time. Okay. Counsel can't have it both ways on that. There was evidence that he didn't know what was going on, and when he testified about it, he lied. The evidence also showed that he walked away from that situation at that time. By him walking away when there was a conversation about that drug transaction at that time is a specific physical act that he did to show his deliberate avoidance of what was happening that day. Two other factors on that same, again, dealing with the facts supporting deliberate indifference, deliberate ignorance. The circumstances throughout the day, which we discussed at length in our brief, show that at some point he should have asked questions throughout the day. And he did not ask any questions, and we know that through his trial testimony. And I cited cases in my brief which set forth an individual who testifies, and during the course of their testimony, they raise certain issues which would support giving them the Oshkosh instruction that should be given. I guess that's the final point.
What's the government's view of this, Mr. Lausch, that he was a lookout?
Absolutely.
So a lookout walked away in the middle of the transaction?
What he did, Your Honor, and I supplemented the record with the actual videotape, see that as well as the description. He walked up the street about maybe three houses away to a corner where he stood next to Hector Guerra, the other lookout in the case, and took up a post next to him and was able to see actually what was going on at the side of the car. And what happened right after that meeting is actually the undercover agent said, let's go to my car and do this. The car went around the block, and you know the kilo was moved into the undercover agent's car, and the first of the 10 kilos was delivered at that point in time. So, but it is absolutely our position that he was a lookout.
This case started with two defendants?
Five defendants, Your Honor. Two went to trial.
Trial started with two defendants.
Exactly. The trial started with two defendants. And as counsel noted, Judge Manning granted a Rule 29 motion for Mr. Guerra. And the government, I don't know if you were going to ask him, but the government believes that that decision was wrong.
I was going to ask you, Mr. Lausch, because what's the difference in the factual setting between our defendant here and that?
I think the point that counsel made is one difference is the fact that he was present at the side of the car while there was a drug conversation going on.
And where was Mr. Flores at that time?
Mr. Guerra? Mr. Flores was at the side of the car and then walked away as that conversation began and as the kilo was shown.
Mr. Guerra was not in the film?
He was in the film, but he was standing at the corner acting as a lookout.
How far away?
He was, again, as I just described, about three or four house lengths away.
So Judge Manning thinks that he's not involved in the case?
That's what Judge Manning thought.
No, I appreciate the government had a different view of that.
Correct. And, in fact, Mr. Guerra was present on the day beforehand and helped pick up the load car. He was present on the scene long before even Mr. Buenmoser was walking around the area. So,
should we be concerned about the giving of an instruction where the district judge says the evidence is pretty thin?
I think the key fact in whether the instruction should or should not be given is whether or not there's evidence to support a judge. And I think in particular in a case that is, you know, as the judge described, a close one. In her mind, this is a close case. And you know, clearly, Mr. Buenrostro and Mr. Guerra, the two lookouts, were not on tape like other individuals in the case. It was a different case to try against them. But this is exactly the type of case where the instructions that fit should be given. Two other points quickly on this issue is case law is clear. There is no problem with the government arguing both actual knowledge and the conscious avoidance theory. We cited cases in our brief as to that. And finally, I believe as one of the judges mentioned, it is our position that any error, to the extent there was one, would be harmless because the instructions in this case were all pattern instructions, and the jury was clearly instructed about full everything that could come in as far as knowledge goes, including a mere presence instruction, which followed immediately after.
So last, how long is the jury out in this case?
From what I remember, judge, the jury was out for about an hour. I may be wrong, and the record will actually reflect when the note was received from the jury, but it was not a very long time. It was that same afternoon. Turning to the safety valve point, our brief discusses this in detail regarding the safety valves, and in essence, I'm an individual who does not come in to sit down with the government and to answer the government's questions. We believe the case law at the very least supports that that is necessary in order to receive the safety valve. And unless Your Honors have any other questions, at this point I would ask that you affirm the decision of the district court.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Angelini, your time has expired, but you may have a minute if you wish.
Thank you for allowing me just 1 minute. I think the film did convict my client. Mr. Guerra was involved in this transaction prior to my client's involvement. He started the day before picking up the load car, getting employed as this lookout. And really the only difference between my client and Mr. Guerra was what transpired in that film. And they used that film to convict him. And what he did in that film to convict him. And that cries out as to why the ostrich instruction should not have been given. Because he said Mr. Angelini can't have it both ways. Well, the government can't have it both ways, too. You can't put in your sole source or central piece of evidence against my client, as this is evidence of his actual involvement, and use it again to say this is his actual evidence of not consciously being involved in a drug transaction. So I ask that Your Honor to consider overturning the verdict in this case.
All right. Our thanks to Government Counsel, Mr. Angelini. Our thanks to you, and an additional special thanks for accepting this appointment. And I hope the experience was one that will not preclude you from taking it again. You said you were concerned about appearing before the court. I hope it wasn't a difficult challenge, and I'm sure for Mr. Lausch it was not. Okay. Case is taken under advisement.